to Alice's Magical Podcast, chapter 34, Alice's Magical International Book Discussion Time. Today I'm going to be talking to someone very special from Australia, and she is Bianca. Hello, Bianca.
Hello, Bianca.
Can you restart this?
No.
Yeah, we can do it again. It's no problem. Yeah. That's no problem because Alice's dad can edit all of those things out. There's no problem. So what I'll do, do you want Alice to do it again? Yeah?
Okay.
Okay, so I don't need to touch anything. Daddy will edit it all.
You're going to see.
So what I'll do is we'll start it again. We'll get Alice to say the chapter 34 bit all again. And then when she says, hello, Bianca, you can say, hello, Alice.
Hello, Alice.
Before you start, do you usually do it again and again? Or do you, like...
Sometimes, yeah, we do. We have to do it again. Alice does it with her dad and has to do it again and again sometimes.
Okay,
really. So
I always do my videos again and again.
Yeah, we do. Alice, you know, like sometimes when you see the ones where Alice is showing what books she's read, we did that about 5 times anyway because we couldn't get the time right. So
yeah, and then the first time we was like doing it for like 100 times because I wasn't doing it right.
Yeah, but now we've got it.
That now we're pros.
Now we're pros.
You're getting better now.
Right. Okay. Right, I'm going to count down. I'm going to go 3, 2, 1, and Alice is going to start it again. Okay. Right.
And then you can say, this meeting is being recorded.
Right. So ready? 3, 2, 1.
Hello, welcome to Alice's Magical Podcast, Chapter 34, Alice's Magical International Book Discussion Time. Today I'm going to be talking to a very special person who is all the way from Australia, and she is Bianca. Hello, Bianca.
Hello, Alice. Thank you for inviting me to your podcast.
You're welcome. This is very strange because here right now it is what time is it now?
10 to 10.
And in Australia in the morning, and in Australia it's
6:49 PM.
That's a big time difference. Yeah.
Loads of hours pass.
Mm-hmm. Bianca be going to bed soon and you'll just eat your breakfast.
I'll just ate a breakfast.
Yeah. Right, so we're going to tell everyone what you and Bianca have been doing together.
So we've been reading some books together, haven't we, Bianca?
Yes.
And they're called Fantastic Mr. Fox and
Magic Finger. Mm-hmm. They're both by Roald Dahl.
Yeah.
So you like Roald Dahl books, don't you, Alice? Do you like Roald Dahl books, Bianca?
Yeah.
He's very good at writing, isn't he?
Yeah. He's one of the best authors ever.
Yeah.
One of my favourites too.
All time in history.
All time in history. Yeah. And Bianca's favourites as well. Wow. So what book are you going to start talking about first?
Fantastic Mr. Fox.
Okay.
My favourite character in this book is actually the main character, Fantastic. I think he's very brave and he sneaks to the farms because he doesn't get caught there. He's super smart because he knows where the wind is blowing, so he doesn't go in the direction of where the farmers are, so he can't be caught. And I think he was cocky a bit because he said he could smell from a mile away, but that was a bit true. And he was cocky at that moment because the three farmers were outside of his tree where he lives. And I think the rest of the characters are pretty good too. I'll start with Miss Fox. I think Miss Fox is pretty helpful and supportive because she's not practically saying you can do it, Mr. Fox, but she gives a support somewhere in the book. And I think that she was very supportive at the middle of the book because when they were in the tree, it's like in the hole, and there was no food. But when the little fox was coming with all the chickens, she was very like waking up, and I think that she showed some sort of kind of support to Mr. Fox when all he came and the whole feast was ready.
Oh, there's Mrs. Fox in the book as well, then.
Yeah, there's Mrs. Fox and his children.
Oh, and his children.
And I think the little fox were really cute. I think they were very resilient, and they were also always listening to their dad and his plans. And I think they were sort of like very willing to try out his plans, even though if it meant more digging. And I also like Badger too. In the movie, he actually is not Badger. He's called Beaver in the movie. And he like works at this sort of place in the woods, and he's also Miss the Fox's best friend, and he's very kind and helpful, and he's very respectful too.
Mm-hmm.
I also found when I watched the movie, I also found some differences like the foxes, because in the book there's four foxes, and in the movie there's only one.
That's strange, isn't it?
Yeah.
I wonder why they changed that.
And what do you think about the book?
Well, I thought it was quite good because Mr. Fox was so sneaky and clever at the same time, because I have a fox on my shed, don't I? And so then we get to experience it more.
Yeah.
Yeah. How foxes get to be sly and sneaky.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Mr. Fox was really clever as well. A sensitive nose, but I was quite sad for what the farmers did when he went out and they were hiding all around a tree when his tail came off. Yeah, I felt quite sad for him, but he still did his work even without his lovely, beautiful tail, even though it looks like a bit of just bird wings clumped all together. You see, like that.
Oh yeah. As you're just showing me what he, when they're holding up his towel.
Ah, I'm not sure what way. That thing. That he's
oh holding. Yeah.
Is there any other characters in the book that? What about the farmers? What do you think of the farmers?
I didn't like them because they're all, well, they were all ate me, but the third one, Bean, he didn't eat anything.
Mm-hmm.
No, he didn't. He just drank apple cider.
Apple cider?
Yeah, he drank.
And earlier when you talked about the tail, one in mice, it looks a bit different.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
And it's a bit more smaller.
Yeah.
So do you think, because does Mr. Fox try and take their chickens, does he? Do you think he's a bit cheeky for trying to take their chickens? No. Why is he trying to take the chickens?
Because he's starving.
Oh. He's starving.
I also love the illustrations of this book. I think Quentin Blake is really good at his job. I love the way he puts in so much detail, and you can really tell what the illustrations are. I love the way that you can tell the feelings in them. Like on the front cover, you can tell that Mr. Fox is jumping around really happily, and he looks pretty joyful too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he does, but on my one, he's not. He's clumping around with a sack.
Oh, yeah, so the front covers are different, aren't they? So he's got a bag for the chickens, and on that one he's celebrating.
With all the foxes around
him.
Yeah. He's in the end, isn't he? Then
he's then he gets what does that? What else does he get? He gets geese.
Geese. Yeah. Oh, he gets the geese as well.
Right. That. You know, one of the farmers stuffed the geese livers into donuts.
Oh, it was Bunce. He's a pot-bellied dwarf.
Oh, that sounds gross.
And he eats six for dinner, and it gives him a beastly temper.
And a tummy ache.
Yeah.
So what happens with I've heard that something happens between Mr. Badger and the fox, where Mr. Badger gets a bit mad. Why does he get a bit mad?
Mr. Badger?
Yeah.
One bit.
I'm not sure. Does he get mad as Mr. Mock? Perhaps I was wrong.
No. And farmers get mad.
Oh, okay. Well, I've got the name wrong then.
Yeah, but goose livers in donuts.
Goose liver in donuts. No, thank you. Would you like to eat a goose liver donut, Bianca?
No. I think the only person who eats normal food in this book is Bogus. I mean, three boiled chickens is sort of normal.
Yeah.
That's too much.
Yeah, but Bean, I'm glad that he's drinking, but why are you not eating?
Yeah, it's really weird. He only drinks food. He only drinks, not doesn't eat.
He doesn't eat. What does he drink?
He drinks strong apple cider, like really, really, really strong.
He also has lots of turkeys in his orchid garden thing.
Orchard.
Yeah. I'm not really sure why he actually doesn't eat his turkeys.
So it says at the end, it says, "That's right, Bean. You'll be making a dash for anything at the moment. Keep your guns handy." They sat there by the hole waiting for the fox to come out. And as far as I know, they are still waiting. But what are they waiting for?
Fox.
To come out.
What? So they're sitting there in the rain?
Yes.
Why are they not in their tents for?
They must be still waiting.
Little do they know that they'll be waiting there forever.
So where is Mr. Fox gone? Where have they gone?
Well, he built an underground village.
Wow.
And then they can just sneak into the chicken cider turkey storage at any time. Because he dug holes for them.
Okay. So they don't need to come out above the ground no more then, do they?
No.
So they're going to sit there and wait. For nothing.
Yeah, no. And then by the time Mr. Fox comes out to get some fresh air, they'll just be skeletons sitting on chairs like that.
Pretty creepy. Real skeletons.
So how many farmers were there?
Three
farmers. And how can you tell the farmers apart, other than their names? How can you tell which farmers, how they're different?
Well, I can tell them apart by what they eat, because Focus eats three boiled chickens. Once he eats donuts with a disgusting goose liver paste. And then we have Bean, who drinks gallons of cider and doesn't really eat anything.
Yeah. So they all look quite similar as well.
Bogus, mm-hmm. I can show you.
Did you describe them?
Look. Bogus is quite fat.
Oh yeah, he's big.
Bean is very strong.
He looks like a bean, doesn't he?
And then Bunce is a dwarf.
Oh, he's small, isn't he?
He's like a dwarf, that's what he says. And also, the first three Bogus, Bunce.
Oh, it gives them descriptions.
And, yeah, and that one is the cleverest out of them all.
Bean.
Yeah.
Oh. He looks like a runner bean. looks like a green bean, doesn't he?
He could run a marathon with those legs.
He looks a bit like a pod, like where the beans go.
Yes, okay, yeah, that's right. So in total, how many stars out of 10 would you give this book?
Well, I think I would rate it 9 out of 10. Because not everything is perfect, but yes, I really like it.
Good. Would you read it again?
What?
Would you read it again, if you like?
Oh, yes.
Oh, sorry.
Would you read it again?
Yes, I would definitely read it again.
How many stars would you give it?
I'll give it a 10.
You'd give it 10? You liked it that much, did you? And would you read it again?
Yeah.
Yes.
In one day, like I did.
Yeah, it's a nice book to read. Nice and quick, wasn't it? Alice didn't want to put the book down because it was the first time she had read it. She came down.
And what do you think about him stealing? I mean, I actually couldn't figure this out, if it was okay for him to steal or if it wasn't okay for him to steal because he was starving to death, but stealing is kind of bad too.
But the thing is, they are bad and they deserve to be stolen. They deserve it.
I answered this question because I don't think it's good to steal, but I think it's like okay for animals because we don't like have a jail for animals. And they need food to survive too. And in this book you have three greedy farmers, and me and two, and they learn their lesson because the fox stole most of their food.
That's right, isn't it? Yeah, it's not a good thing to steal. Alice is throwing all of her morals out the window because she's because they're hungry. but like you know that it's not okay to steal, don't you? But with animals, it's not really classed as stealing, is it? They're just trying to feed themselves, aren't they?
Yeah. What is Alice trying to throw out the windows?
Her morals.
What's a moral?
Morals means that she knows it's not okay to steal, but because she doesn't mind it for the animals, she's like, doesn't matter. Yes, you can steal if you want to. So it's not literally throwing anything out the window. It's just
I'm not throwing anything out of the window.
It's just an English term that I have to sometimes remember that other people from the other side of the world don't always understand what English people mean when they say things that we always say.
Duck!
Yeah, don't throw the book out the window.
Yeah. Did this duck?
She's pretending to throw her book out the window. It's crazy.
Maybe throw your food out the window instead. No, not your book. This is your entertainment. Yeah. Very important. Well, I don't think I would try to catch the fox like Marcus Bunsen Bean would. If I was one of the farmers, I would actually try to make friends with the fox. And then if he agreed, maybe he could like get some sort of job on the farm because this book is fiction, so a fox can get a job on the farm.
Yeah.
And then he can like take some food, but not a lot. He could probably take the leftovers.
Yeah, they could enjoy him, couldn't they, to help rather than trying to catch him.
Yeah, like he could plant the crops because he will dig.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I actually was so smart because I couldn't find a job for him when I said planned to say that.
We haven't even put you about that. Bianca gave the idea and you solved the problem of the job that he was gonna have.
I'm still doing it.
Alice is still digging. She's crazy. You learn that Alice is a bit crazy, Bianca, hey. That she's digging. So all the foxes could be employed on their farm then, couldn't they? The children can get involved, everything, couldn't they? The farmers could help.
Yeah. The children could get the food.
Mm-hmm.
The mother could
clean, like, I know what the mother could do. She could probably like clean the animal barns.
Yeah, and also maybe the children.
Yeah. Okay, actually, no, don't do that job. My mum's a bit like offended right now.
Yeah, I think the children should feed the animals.
Oh,
yeah. But what should the mother do?
Maybe she could water the plants.
Maybe she could sit there and knit and then she could water the plants.
Maybe she could have a rest from looking after the children.
Yeah. And then after she's knitted and after Mr. Fox has done. And then the lady comes out and then she just waters that plant. And when he goes to the next plant, does it?
Yeah, she can just water all the lovely plants.
If mums is so good at cooking, maybe Miss Fox could cook the three boiled chickens for Boggers.
Mm.
But I don't think Boggers. I think Boggers won't want foxes on the farm.
No, you don't. She's not having it. She's not going to employ them.
No.
But Bianca was saying that he should just try to make friends and rather than trying to catch them.
Yeah.
Because you can do, can't you?
But if I had a farm,
mm-hmm.
foxes could live there.
Yeah.
And I would cook them dinner. Chicken, turkey.
You're going to give the foxes chickens.
But they would keep coming.
Mm-hmm.
And coming, and more animals would come. Then you would have no more crops.
Because they were like foxes.
Yeah.
They're so beautiful. Did you know that not that foxes don't attack humans?
No.
But foxes who do attack humans, I read online that they have some sort of sickness. Like,
yeah. We have a fox that lives in on top of the shed on our next door neighbour's garden.
Is it real?
Mm-hmm.
No.
And also, one day there were two foxes on the shed. So we're guessing that he has a lady and some cubs.
Yep, they come and sit on sunbathe on our shed.
Because Feral comes out, doesn't he? Mm-hmm. We called the man Feral and the lady is called Felly.
Mm-hmm.
And then there must be cubs inside the ivy. Mm-hmm. Feral comes out and it's very rare when the lady comes out.
Yeah.
So she must be looking after the cubs inside while Feral goes out to find food.
That actually makes sense now because the Mr. Fox in Fantastic Mr. Fox, he goes to find the food, and the Mrs. Fox, she goes to look after her four cubs.
That's right.
And also, one day, this was amazing. I was looking out of my window and I saw Feral in next door neighbor's garden. Now I saw him climbing up the fence. On my next door neighbor's fence, and then he climbed up the ivy, and then he went into this hole where he went into his house,
his burrow.
Well, that's so cool. Speaking of animals next door, there's my next door neighbor has these two cats, and they're always climbing the fence to our backyard. And one time, I actually saw it in my garden in the backyard.
Wow.
That's amazing. Yeah. These animals are so sneaky but so clever, aren't they?
Yeah, but because my nan gets a lot of cats in her garden.
She does. Yeah,
yeah, and she calls one Tiger, even though it's spotty, not stripy.
Mm-hmm. Right, so have you finished talking about Mr. Fox? Have you finished? Is that all the questions and things you want to say about Mr. Fox? Is really?
Well, there's just one more thing I learned from life is that foxes are very smart animals. Mm-hmm. And I actually learned that in some cultures, people believe that foxes have powers. But they're actually really naughty animals. They steal chickens, and they actually eat pretty much anything.
Yeah,
they could steal anything.
Yeah, we had where my mum lives. She had a rabbit once, and we left him in the garden by accident. We thought he was indoors, but he disappeared. And we got a feeling that a fox might have taken him. Because he couldn't jump over anything and the garden was secure, he couldn't get out anywhere, but we thought he'd come indoors. But then we went to put him in his cage and he wasn't there. We'd come indoors and we think he was just still in the garden. So yeah, we think maybe a fox had got him because he was quite a big rabbit. So we think we don't understand how he would have disappeared.
I don't think I can say anything about what you just said.
Yeah, it's sad, but that's just that. But foxes need to eat, don't they?
Yeah.
So,
well, otherwise these beautiful creatures won't
live.
That's
it. Yeah, it was a bit sad, but.
Yeah. And I think the message of this book is probably compassion and empathy, and don't be greedy.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Well, the thing is that I feel quite sad for foxes because they can go in rubbish bins and then they can get plastic and it can go in their tummies and they can feel really sick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they get out of the rubbish, don't they?
Because if you put it out the night before, the night where the rubbish people come and take it, the foxes go straight in, don't they?
Yeah, that's why we have to make sure.
Maybe we should always recycle our plastic.
Well done, girls. That's a big lesson to learn there, isn't it? Make sure everyone recycles their plastic.
Yeah, because remember when we went to the beach the other day and we was looking all over the beach for plastic, weren't we?
Mm-hmm. We found lots, didn't we? We did our bit for the job. So yeah.
Is it summer in? It's winter here.
Oh.
It's summer here.
Yep, summer's finally arrived.
Yeah.
Oh, sad that it's been summer. Yeah, summer here. Yeah, we've had loads and loads of rain because it's London and we always get rain in London. But no.
But we're in London.
Yeah.
Did you know that mum almost went to London once? Ooh. It's true.
Yeah.
She's from, like she said, that she's from Brazil. She told me that when she was leaving the country, to go somewhere. She never told me why.
Study English.
To study English. Oh. She said that she would go to London, but she went to Australia instead.
That's a good choice.
Do you appreciate the skies in London?
Appreciate what, sorry?
Like the sky in London, the way it's up
there. Oh, yeah. We're always looking at the sky, aren't we?
I'm looking at the sky.
Yes, yeah, nice. We can see it. But yeah, we... Well, Alice once said to me the big question that blows everyone's mind, but how is the sky there? And I was like, oh, it's bedtime, Alice. We can't talk about this at bedtime. Because there's just such a big question, isn't it? Like, and how are we in the universe? But yes, we appreciate the sky here in London and we're always looking at the stars.
It looks like the skies never end because it looks like it ends behind that house. When you go behind that house, it's not.
It's not,
it goes on forever. You know, on the beach, you actually can have the idea better because you can see the whole sky.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. You know, that you're, I think you're right, the sky never actually ends because the earth is a sphere, so a sphere has no corners, so it must have no end.
I think it's very strange at that. So if we look out the window now, we can see a bit of sun later on. You're going to be seeing the same sun that we see now.
And when, when
you look outside and you see the moon, see the moon, later on we're going to see the same moon that you're seeing now. But what is this? Yeah, this.
But we won't be able to see it because it's at night time right now.
I know, but later on we'll be seeing it, won't we?
Yes.
And it'll be the same one that Bianca was just looking at.
We are going to get it on the show. Monday first.
I'm going to get Monday first.
Yeah. So Bianca knows what Monday's going to be like before we even wake up. Okay then, so Mr. Fox was a good thumbs up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Really enjoyed it. Yeah, it's a good book.
Looking at the sky is making me tired.
So what book's next then?
The Magic Finger.
Oh, this is one of your favourites, isn't it?
Yeah.
Was this the first Roald Dahl book that we read?
No.
No?
I don't think so.
Didn't think of the confession.
But
this is the first one.
I think it is.
I think we did read this when you was quite young though, wasn't it? It was one of the first Roald Dahl books that we read.
Maybe you laughed at one point because when she cursed the family with the magic finger, when I opened up this page, it just made me laugh so much.
Oh.
I have a question for you.
Yeah, go on.
I actually have a question for you about the book.
Yeah.
How would you feel if you were in the girls' class who doesn't have a name? And you saw your teacher being turned into a cat.
So if you're sitting in the class and the girls turn your teacher into a cat, how would you feel?
I would put my hand up, say, "Miss, you're in a cat now," and then she would go, "Meow, meow, meow," and then I'll just stare.
Would you get a bit nervous?
Yeah. And then
I would walk nowhere near her, but I don't know what we would do without a teacher and what the principal would say. And I pretty much think that the school would get sued for having a cat.
Yeah, so me and you would be able to bring the cat to the headmaster, and then we would say, "Here is our teacher." And then you would go, "Meow," and then you would, "Ah!" And then you would throw the cat out the window.
Alice loves to throw things out the window.
You're gonna give some catch food for her.
Do you like throwing things out the window?
No.
Maybe you could throw the cat out the window with some cat food too.
Yeah. And also milk or water.
Don't forget the study books. You need study books too.
Yeah. But
how to speak English. And you have to throw her out with the dictionary too. She has to learn how to speak English again.
Yeah. And I wonder why Roald Dahl never gave the girl a name.
When you first read this book, you were always giving a name to her. When you were three.
Wait, what was the question?
I wonder why Roald Dahl never gave the girl a name.
Tell her. I'm three and I read for you. You always give her a name.
When I was three and my mum read it for me, the first time she read it, I was like, oh my god, mum, she doesn't have a name. I was freaking out because she doesn't have a name.
And you would give her a name.
And I would actually give her a name, but I can't remember what name I gave her.
That's clever. Lila, you're good. And what would you give a name?
And I like this book because I think that it's really funny and it teaches people a lesson in a really nice way. I think the lesson of this book is to to put yourself in other people's shoes. Like if other people are going through a hard time, like the birds were when all six of the kids were. Had been shot, and when the girl put the magic finger on the Gregg family, they all turned into birds, and I could feel what it was like to be a bird, almost about to be shot. And it's not just about the birds, but in real life, I think that maybe if someone is going through a hard time, you should probably ask to help them. And like not make things harder, like when the Greggs were going to shoot the birds.
Yeah. So you told me that. What did you say when she uses her magic? What did you say? What was the difference between her using the finger on the Greggs and the difference between her using it on the teacher? What did you say about that?
That the teacher didn't really deserve it because she did kind of because thing is. She got angry just because the girl said to spell the word wrong, and she got angry because she spelled the word wrong, and she went to go and face her to the wall. And I don't think she should have done that, but she didn't really deserve to get turned into a cat.
Just for that one thing.
Yeah, and then the headmaster threw it out the window.
So when she turns her into a cat, is she a cat forever then?
I think if I know there's a sentence in here.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just find. Where is it?
Yeah, she shows like.
What are you trying to find the sentence? What he says? What happens?
Well, whispers began growing out of her face,
So what Ali said to me yesterday is that she thinks. What did you say?
I cannot begin to tell you what happened after that, but if any of you are wondering whether Mrs. Winter is quite all right again now, the answer is no, and she will never be.
Okay. Yeah, so what did you say yesterday? So you said that, basically she's going to be a cat forever, but Alice said to me, maybe she did deserve to be a cat, but she did deserve to be turned into a cat for treating the girl a bit nastily for getting a word wrong, but perhaps what could have she done instead?
She could have done it for 1 hour.
She could have just changed her in for a cat for like an hour, not for the rest of her life.
I actually have a question about this book.
Yeah.
Do you think that the girl who has the magic finger has control of her magic finger? Because with the cat, incident. She could have had some patience with the teacher, but she didn't because, I don't know, she probably got really upset. But with the Greggs, she was trying to convince them to stop shooting, and they just didn't, like, they ignored her. So I think with the Greggs, she had the right to get upset, like you said.
Yeah, you think? You tell Bianca what you think.
Oh, I don't think she had much control.
No.
And also, I'm just realizing here that her finger is a different color.
Mm-hmm.
Or the magic finger is like gray.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it kind of is. Alan's kind of green.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh, wait, is this color?
This bookie.
Oh,
9 years old. Sure. They might look like 9 years old.
Do you want to know something really weird?
Mm-hmm.
My, my books are actually my books are 9 years old, even though I'm eight, because my mum bought them 1 year before I was born.
Wow. That's incredible. I'm not sure how old these ones were, but Alice bought this one. We first read this to Alice when she was three. So you both read it at the same time.
So another thing I have about my opinion on the book is that I kind of felt sorry for the girl in the beginning because they didn't give her any attention, and I kind of felt sorry for the Greg family, especially the mom who wasn't even like hunting anything. But at the end of the day, I think that the Greg's family learnt her lesson. The Egg family now, they changed the surname to Egg. And I like the end that about the end at that part. And I also like the way that's like the girl already knew that the Coopers would be nesting in trees that night because of the magic finger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they were shooting.
Yeah.
As well.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was really, do you have like an illustration at the end of the book of the girl running?
Oh, yeah.
Because I kind of have like a question. About that picture.
Mm-hmm.
If the magic finger.
It's colourful.
Because your one's colourful and Alan's not colourful. Yeah. It's grey.
Yeah, this is a picture book.
Cool.
Your one's really nice. The question about that picture is if the magic finger was leading her to the Coopers or if she knew where it was.
I think she might have known where. I think the magic finger was also leading her. But no, I also think she heard it as well.
Okay. Her finger is also probably in control of her emotions, isn't it? Mm. So, you know, sometimes where you might get a bit upset, the finger then detects.
It's when she's angry. Oh, when she's really, angry. Really angry, she.
When she's emotional.
Yeah. So, let me go back to the winter. This winter.
Mm-hmm.
So, it says, then I got cross, and I saw red, and I put a magic finger on Mrs. Winter, good and strong, and almost at once. So she gets really cross. Her gut, and she can feel red, and she can feel hot.
Yeah.
And then when that happens.
Yeah, so it's a good metaphor, isn't it, for children's feelings, really, as well, isn't it?
I think that maybe another message about this book is to learn how to control your feelings, because maybe the magic finger was just a sort of image of what could happen if you get upset. Not that you could get a magic finger, just that you could get really upset and you could put all your upsetness on someone who was just there, I guess. I don't know if upset when this is a word.
Oh, yeah, it is now. Roald Dahl made up loads of words.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you've just made up a new word. Upstairs.
Yeah, at the end of Fantastic Mr. Fox, I found this. Let me just find it. I know it isn't. That's it. The end of the book here is one last word invented by Roald Dahl himself. Make sure you keep it safe. Hip switch, adverb, do something very quickly.
Wow.
hip switch.
Because is it in the back of your one?
Might be in the back of this one as well.
No.
Yeah, because this one is this is like an anniversary edition, so that might be why that's in there.
No, it's not in this one either.
But Roald Dahl wrote.
My book is pretty old. It doesn't really have any words that Roald Dahl invented.
No, this is a new one. This one.
And speaking of teachers from Magic Finger, there's a really weird poem. The first time I read it, I was freaking out. My mom suggested I should read it for everyone.
Yeah.
It's Ding Dong Solo. My teacher wasn't half as nice as yours seemed to be. His name was Mr. Unsworth, and he taught us history. And when he didn't know a date, he'd get you by the ear and start to twist while you sat there quiet, paralyzed with fear, until at last the ear came off and landed on the floor. Our class was full of one-eared boys. I'm certain there were eight who'd had them twisted off because they didn't know a date. So let us now praise teachers of today who are also fine, and yours in particular is totally divine.
But I don't think that actually happened.
No, it's a poem. So you must listen because it'll twist your ear off. I was thinking going solo, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You can see it. Check it out later.
Yeah.
If you have it.
Yeah, we've got it. We'll have to look at that.
I practiced it the first.
Trying to twist my ear off. So I've got a question. If you was at school, is there any teacher that you would want to turn into an animal with a magic finger?
Probably my performing arts teacher. I know what you're thinking. I actually have an answer for that question. I think that she gets angry for little things. But not that I want everyone to hear this, but I don't.
It's okay, we won't send it to school.
I just don't want my mom to tell the school what I say about teacher. I think that one, like when a kid does something wrong, she gets really upset. Because one time at lunch, we have performing arts after lunch, and me and my friends made a club, and people started ripping off our posters and throwing them in the trash. When we went to performing arts, I told her, and she said that we could go get the boy and just sort it out. And then we didn't know what grade he is and what his name was, but there were a few boys, we went to grade four because we thought they were in grade four, but then they told us to go to grade five, so we went to grade five and we asked everyone, and teacher there said maybe she'll look, and then she told us, and we went to grade six, and when we went to grade six, another kid came up to her saying, "Oh my gosh, Mr. Milani's like super upset. You better get back now."
Oh dear. So what animal would you turn her into?
I think I would turn her into a cute bunny rabbit.
What about you, Ellie?
I would do my art teacher as well.
Yeah.
Because that was the day when I was in the playground eating. We have a break in the middle of the morning, and when I was in year two, I was sitting there eating my hot cross bun, and it was delicious. And there's this boy at my school called Cooper, and he was running around with his friend called Max, and I just took her and I just. Spun out my leg. Run my leg out to stretch my leg. But I didn't see Cooper running towards me, and as I put my leg out, he ran on it, and And then the art teacher was nearby and she went to come and tell me off because she thought I'd kicked him on purpose, but I didn't do anything.
What did Cooper say?
Well, I said sorry to him even though I didn't do nothing wrong. And then the teacher just told me off because I kept on saying to her, I didn't mean to do it, I didn't mean to do it, I didn't mean to do it. And she didn't believe me, so she told me off for back chatting to her. But I didn't. I'll tell her.
What do you think you would have turned her into?
I would have turned her into the smallest bug. And hoping one of the children.
You're telling her to turn her into a small bug so that you hope that one of the children will stamp on her.
I just hope these teachers aren't watching our podcast.
No. They won't.
Because if they are, I'm so sorry.
Yeah. And if you are listening, teacher, I'm sorry. I don't think they will be, though, Bianca.
Yeah.
Okay, so what else about Magic Finger? Is there anything? Oh, hang on a second. I saw a duck here on the telephone. So does that mean that the ducks and the Gregs swap over, do they?
Yeah.
The ducks become...
They do. The ducks just don't speak English. They need a dictionary.
Ah.
Yeah, because on the telephone, if you go back to that page, look, it says, hello, I said, quack! The voice at the other end, who is he? I asked, quack, quack. Philip, I said, is that you? Quack, quack, quack. Quack, quack.
Ah, so
stop here, I said.
How do they end up? Do they end up learning English then, do they?
No.
No, they don't. Just quack.
And you can probably infer that the house would be full of water because ducks live in a pond.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but, no, actually, they do learn English because they talk to the Greg family because they're about to shoot the Greg family.
Oh, okay.
They actually make... I don't think they speak English. I think because no one understood the Greg family, because they turned into the ducks, and the ducks just say quack quack. So maybe so the Gregs thought they were speaking English, but everyone else could only hear quack quack.
Yes. Yeah.
And then the bird and the Greg family can hear the birds quacking.
Yeah.
What they're actually saying, like they're speaking English, but they go wah 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 wah.
They're speaking duck English.
Yeah. And then the people from up above, even though they don't speak quack quack language to each other, they go quack 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 quack. Quack, 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 quack.
Okay, so is there anything else you want to talk about the book?
Yes, there is actually. At the end of the book, something so funny. Yeah. It says that the house was a complete mess. And it says here, if you don't believe us, said Miss Egg, just go into the house and take a look at the bathroom. It's a mess. They filled the tub right up to the brim, Philip said. They must have been swimming around in it all day, in it all night, and feathers everywhere.
Yeah, and also, this reminded me of the Twits.
Okay.
Because if you have read the Twits, the tree, when they put sticky glue in it, the birds get stuck to the glue on the tree when they go to rest on the tree, and then they take the birds.
There's a character and it's monkeys. They actually put the Twits upside down and they disappeared somehow. Because they put the glue on the floor of the house, the roof, and they started putting everything on the ceiling. But they also put glue on the floor. The Twits thought they were upside down, so they went on their heads on the floor, and they were stuck there.
You got the Twits, don't you?
Yeah.
Maybe that could be enough on you for a minute. So what would you mark this out of 10?
I would mark it a 9.
A 9?
Because
of the shooting. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I think I really like the message of this book, and I know I said not every book's perfect, but I think the message, I really like it. How you should always put yourself in other people's shoes, as which means you should always not like the Greg's family. They weren't caring for the ducks. So I think that I would rate this book 10 out of 10.
No, I'd rate this book a 10 as well.
Yeah, okay, wow. Both 10s, wow.
Yes.
Enjoy this. And you'd read it, both of you would read it again, would you?
Yeah.
I would read it like 3 times.
Yeah? Wow, yeah. That's a lot. Wow, yeah. So you enjoyed it then.
And they're also very short and easy to read.
They are, yeah. And they're nice to be, it can be read together, can't it? And you can read it on your own. It doesn't take long, does it? Wow, that's lovely.
Yes.
And before we finish, I know this is your podcast, but I just have a few questions for you. When did you start reading?
Mostly all my life, really.
You've had your nose in a book
all the time,
haven't you?
Yeah.
And were you like always in love with books like that?
I didn't at the start.
It's a hard one to remember when exactly you got into books, isn't it? She's always, but I think on your third birthday you got a book called
Dippy.
No, Luna.
Oh, Luna and Franklin.
Yeah. And what was that book called? Franklin Flying Bookshop.
Yeah. New Franklin's Flying Bookshop.
And from then, you just loved books from then.
Yeah. When I was 3, I loved dinosaurs.
Yeah, I know you love dinosaurs as well, but you also, and you used to like going to the library.
Mm.
So the library was a big part of Alice starting to read, wasn't it? And collecting your own books. And.
I've only been to 2 libraries. Okay. I'll save the best library for the end. Mm-hmm. So I've been to the Hume Library. It's a place to where I live. When I first went there, I really liked the children's place because there was sort of this sort of like room where you could read in the children's room, and I really liked how there was the Diary of Annie Frank there. Mm.
Thank you.
Yeah,
Frank.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. Okay. What other library did you go to?
The State Library. I absolutely loved how it was so big, and it was double story. You could see like all the books from the second point, and I loved the way that there was so much books, and I couldn't really and there was an adult's place, and I think I like the adult's place even better than the children's place because it had like so much bookshelves and it had so much books too, and it was so peaceful there and quiet. So I really liked that.
So Bianca's State Library is like the British Library.
Right.
So you've been to the British Library, haven't you?
It's really good, isn't it? Because they've got this King's Library there, and it's like more than 16 miles high.
It's very tall, yeah. So it's got the King's Library in there, which is the library started off, I think it's like King George, I can't remember what it was now. So he started off the library, and it's all the books that he collected from all over the world. There's a big column of them in the middle of the library.
But it's as big as that, though.
It's huge. It's really big.
He went to all over the world and got books in many different languages.
Yeah, and people used to send books to him, and they're kept in a special, you can't go inside it. It's kept at a special temperature, and it's really cold, and because the books are really, really, really old. And then a row in the library that you can walk around and there's people like studying in there, and then there's rooms, isn't there?
Yeah.
What one of the rooms did we see?
We saw
maps.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
did.
So there's a room where you can go in. You have to have special permission. You can go in. There's lots of different maps, and the rooms are called requirement rooms. So, and if you, I don't know if you've got this part in Harry Potter yet, but in Harry Potter, there's a requirement room in Hogwarts, and we think that might be where J.K. Rowling got the name from for that room, because it's a room where you go, and it's a requirement room. You go into, in Harry Potter, you go to the requirement room, and it gives you what the thing that you specifically want.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what these rooms are in the library. So you've got a maps room, and you've got another room.
Is it in Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets?
Yeah, I think, yes, that's right, yes. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, that one is, like, the restricted place.
Yeah,
I know that.
Yeah, so we think that maybe she got some ideas from that. We saw, like, the biggest atlas in the world there. Yeah. So,
you know, so we saw a massive book, didn't we, with no title?
That's the maps inside there. The big maps.
And speaking of Harry Potter, have you watched the movies and have you read the books?
I haven't read the books, but I've watched the movies.
You've watched them a long time ago, though, when you was four, didn't you? So I think we might have to watch them again before she reads the books.
Yeah, and also, also at the British Library, there's every single book that's been published in England.
Yeah, so if you publish a book in England, your name gets put into the British Library.
Right?
Wait.
If you publish a book, then it's like the library straight away.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
My mum suggested I tell you this and ask you a question. Do you write any books? Like, because I've written three books. I didn't publish any of them, but I only. Two of them are hardcover. One of them me and my mum made this one together. It's a hardcover. And the second one is called The Lost Unicorn. It's a sort of flappy cover. And I have another one that's paper, and all the rest are on computers.
Wow, that's beautiful. Yeah. Well,
let's
tell Bianca what you've done.
I've actually written a cookbook. I know what you're thinking, a cookbook. I tried out many experiments with food, and I even made a fruit smoothie, but with many different types of fruit.
Oh, that's amazing.
So I've written a lot of stories, and so we decided that I could self-publish my stories. So they will be published and they will go in the British Library, but they just...
So we're going to self-publish one of Alice's stories, and then she can give it to the local libraries and to the school and to the local bookshops.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so we're going to...
That's awesome.
Yeah, we haven't done it yet, though.
No, we'll be doing it this year.
Yeah. And I definitely did my books with me and my mum. The second book, I don't really like its front cover.
Sure.
I made it when I was five. I'm just so happy no one can see this. It's just a podcast.
Aww.
Don't look at that.
That's great.
Don't look at that.
That's brilliant, isn't it? Lovely little book.
And I like it's got your head on it as well.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
That's creepy.
You have to send us over some of your recipes, and Alice can try and make some.
So my top five recipes, the Tutti Frutti juice. It's peaches, grapes, watermelon, oranges blended, and a glass of water. And then my next recipe is my lettuce boat salad. This is my favorite, and even these days I'm actually asking my mom if we can make it again.
It's been 3 years.
It's crunchy lettuce leaves filled with smoked salmon, broccolini, cheese, olives, cherry tomatoes, and parmesan cheese. I absolutely love the recipe. I don't know how my mum created it, but it's so good.
It's tasty.
It looks like a Lester's lunchbox, but we won't be able to put the salmon in it, will we?
Yeah. So it's an easy peasy pizza. It's pretty easy actually. So it's bread topped with cheese, tomatoes, and basil. It's supposed to be margherita, but we don't really have. We didn't have pizza dough.
Oh no.
And so it's a wrap.
Yeah,
bread. And this is my second favorite dessert. It's sort of healthy. I'm actually not sure. It's rice pop treats. It's white chocolate melted in the microwave, and then you add rice pops to the melted chocolate. Rice puffs are like rice, but they're sort of snack too. And then when you finish making them, you have to put them in a fridge for a while, and then they're ready.
We do that with milk chocolate.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
So my next recipe is banana milkshake. It's pretty simple and I absolutely love it. It's banana, vanilla ice cream and milk.
Yeah.
I didn't really, it's not my original idea, but it's one of my favorites.
That's
it. And that's it.
Yeah. Nice coloring book.
And it also has a coloring book at the end.
Aww.
Yeah. Good. And no one can even see it.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah.
That's nice. So you can do the cookbook and then you can colour in the bits at the end. That's very clever.
Yeah.
And
do you like illustrating?
Yeah. I do.
Huh. You do lots of drawing, don't you?
Yeah.
And we were stuck in question one. So I have another question. What's your favourite book?
I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to answer that one.
You can only pick one. Well, you don't have to top pick five. One. Okay, top five.
Top five books.
Mermaid's Tale, Unicorn Horn, Dragon's Lair. This is really hard here. Ray Gray, I'm going to have to choose.
Rainbow Gray.
Yeah, Rainbow Gray.
Is it
one? Oh, no, I don't think I'm a more special. I've only picked three of Beatrice's books.
This is the one,
Maybe if I tell you mine, you could get some ideas.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, have you heard of, what one of my favourites is Little People, Big Dreams? I have Diary of a Wimpy Kid. I don't think you've heard of it. This is actually hard on myself. Roald Dahl collection.
You have to pick a book.
I can't pick any books specifically. Okay. I actually picked one book that I've read for my channel. I've reviewed for my channel. It's called I Survived the Nazi Invasion. I really love that one. It puts so much detail. It's not even horrifying. My last favorite is The Wonderful World of Dr. Seuss. It's right here.
So when Alice said about the Mermaid's Tale, Dragon's Fire, and Unicorn, that's Beatrice Blue's collection then.
Mm-hmm, yes.
So that can be classed as one.
Okay.
So you've got one. Beatrice Blue collection is those.
I actually never heard of Beatrice Blue.
So she's a very lovely friend of ours. Yeah. She's an illustrator by profession.
I would also choose Wizards of Once.
Wizard of Once, she should read Wizards of Once, Bianca. Why should she read Wizard of Once?
Because it's magical, mythical.
I'll try it.
Who's it by?
My mum.
And it's by it's by the Montessori Children's Laureate here.
And her name is?
Krista Cow.
Have you heard of How to Train Your Dragon books?
Yes, I've seen it on TV too.
So lady, she's the, so the lady who writes the books, she also writes the Wizard of Once series, and it's very, they're brilliant. We read them together, the Wizard of Once series, because they're very magical.
I would also choose Rainbow Grey.
Rainbow Grey by Lauren Ariel Anderson.
I think I can kind of guess what the book is about by its cover. Rainbow Grey. Is it rainbows and grey clouds?
Not quite.
Is it happy and sad?
It's happy and sad.
I would also choose.
Are you going to choose this Big Dream series?
Yep. I want to choose one more.
One more book.
I'm trying to think of the ones that we put up on YouTube. The best ones.
I Go Quiet. You like that one? I Go Quiet by David Oyman. You like that one as well?
Yeah. Oh, we just found
Dragon's
one.
Fire.
Dragon's Fire. I've never seen that.
That works. Yeah, really, because you told you. Dragon's Fire.
Thank you for telling me. My mum just.
I just got please some hope.
Yep, my mum just borrowed it from the library.
Ah, wow. Yeah, they're pretty good books.
So we have an app, so that's how she did it. So my next question is, have you written like any stories in like sort of, because like you said that you've written really long ones, I can kind of relate to that, because I've actually written one story at school and we're supposed to finish writing it, but I never finished because it's a pretty long book, I guess, not technically a book, but it's based on a TV show I really like.
Yeah, I have written a lot of stories. All of them are magical, well, most of them. I've got quite a popular one, which is Year Splitter. This is quite popular because it's in my school library and it will stay there forever and ever and ever. And yes, I've written quite a lot of stories, haven't I? And now keep it, and I keep on writing more.
You think of stories quite a lot, don't you? We were driving in the car and Alice sees something. What did you see the other day?
I saw like a Leo's Marketplace.
Saw a shop called Leo's Marketplace.
And I thought of an idea for that called Leo's Odd Shop. And
went to a cafe, didn't we?
Yeah.
And you thought of a story.
Chaos in the Cafe.
Yeah, so that's quite good.
The TV show that I based my story on, I think you probably know it because it's from like around England. It's called Hilda. Have you heard of it? Yeah,
it's,
I know.
My it's my favourite program.
It's the best ever. It's on Netflix.
Have you got the books?
No, but I've seen it on an app that has books. I really love Hilda. What's your favourite character in Hilda out of the whole three?
Twig and Hilda. Like, Twig is adorable.
Twig is, like, so cute. He's so beautiful and pretty.
Yeah. He's a deer fox, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is it, the opposite? Fox deer.
Oh.
Fox deer, maybe. Yeah. So, everybody tell Bianca what happened a few years ago with Hilda.
The Luke Pearson thing. Yeah. I went to go and meet Luke Pearson.
Wait, what did you say?
I went to go and meet Luke Pearson in person.
So, Hilda is a graphic novel. Yeah. And Alice went to a comic book shop and she got to meet the illustrator and the author of them, and he showed her to draw. And we'll send you over some pictures later. We've got pictures of Alice meeting him.
I'd love to see that. That's, oh my god, that's so cool.
You remember when a donut was chasing Hilda and Drew?
he gave them different scenarios, and one, there was a donut, and then you had to draw little bits into it.
And then Hilda and Twig was running away from a giant rolling donut rolling towards them.
That makes sense. Hilda's magical. I used to watch Hilda like for really long hours, and my mum said I should stop, but before she knew it, I finished the whole series in episodes.
it's good to have a cheap illustrator now when you go from home to. Yeah.
So did he tell you anything about Hilda, like what inspired him? Because I'd really love to know.
I can't remember now, but yeah. I think so. There was a lot of people there. It wasn't just Alice on her own. It was like a workshop really, where you could ask a few questions. But it was mainly
I have one more question. And did you go to the place purposely, or was it just a coincidence that he was actually there?
No, we went there.
Yeah.
Alice didn't know he was there. We surprised her. But
I didn't know I was there. He was there because I was waiting all week, like, is it day of new Pearson Day?
That's one of the times we did tell him. So we knew he was there, and we had to get there nice and early to get a seat to see him.
That sounds really nice. So that's my questions.
Thank you for coming today, and it's been so nice meeting you, but sadly it's time for the end of the podcast. So thank you so much for being here today, Bianca. And I hope you keep on reading lots and lots of stories and books, and I'll see you, and more. And
maybe we can have her on another time as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll do it again another time.
Yeah.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
This podcast is part of the After Dark Podcast Network.